ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरे नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो हरे कृष्णा हैव द बोल ओके सो we will sing one bhajan till the board comes. Glorify Mahaprabhu since Gaur Purnima is coming. Parama karuna bahu dui jana Nitai Gora Chandra Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gora Chandra Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gora Chandra अवतार सार शिरोमणि केवल आनंद कंदा अवतार सार शिरोमणि केवल आनंद कंदा भजो भजो भाई चतन्यानिताई सुदृढ़ विश्वास पूरी भजो भाई ज्ञानिताई सुदृढ़ विश्वास पूरी विषया छाड़िया सेरा से माजिया मुखे बोलो हरी हरी विषया छाड़िया रसे माजिया मुखे बोलो हरि हरि और भाई त्रिभुवन नाई हेमन दयाल दाता को रे भाई त्रिभुवन नाई हेमन दयाल दाता पशु पक्षी झूरे पाषाण विदरे सुनि जार गुण गाथा पक्षी झूरे पाषाण विदरे सुनि जार गुण गाथा संसारे माझिया रोहिले पोरिया से पदे नाही लो आशा ले पोरिया से पदे नाही लो आशा अपना करम मुंजाए शामन कहो ए लोचन दासा करम करुणा बहु दुई जन निताई गोरा चंद्र हरे कृष्ण सो we are reading text 26, 10th canto, chapter 76, entitled The Battle Between Shalva and the Vrishnis. Text 26. Shalva Matyo Dumanama Padyumnam Prag Pradipita Apapitita Padyumnam Prag Prapidita Asadhya Gadaya Morvya Vyahatya Venadad Bali Shalva Matyo Dumanama Padyumnam Prag Prapidita Asadhya Gadaya Morvya Vyahatya Venadad Bali Matajis. Shalva Matya, Shalva's minister, Duman Nama, named Duman, Padyumnam, Padyumna, Prak, previously, Prapidita, hurt, Asadhya, confronting, Gadaya, with his club, Morvaya, made of carbonized iron. Vyahatya, striking. Venadat, rude. Bali, powerful. Translation. Shalva's minister Duman, previously wounded by Sri Pradyumna, now ran up to him and roaring loudly struck him with his club of black steel. No purpose. So next verse. Padyumnam gadaya shirna vakshaha stalam marim damam apuvaha ranat suto dharma vidarukat majaha. Padyumna's driver, the son of Daruka, thought that his valiant master's chest has been shattered by the club. Knowing well his religious duty, he removed Padyumna from the battlefield. Purport by the disciple of His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that actually Lord Pradyumna has a Satchidananda body, an eternal spiritual form that can never be wounded by mundane weapons. Daruka's son, however, was a great devotee of the Lord, and out of intense love he feared for the safety of his master and thus removed him from the battlefield. Srila Prabhupada writes, this is from Krishna book, the name of Shalva's commander-in-chief was Duman. He was very powerful, and although bitten by 25 of Pradyumna's arrows, he suddenly attacked Pradyumna with his fierce club and struck him so strongly that Pradyumna became unconscious. Immediately there was a roaring, now he is dead, now he is dead. The force of the club on Pradyumna's chest was very severe, enough to tear asunder the chest of an ordinary man. Om Jnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Adhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, reading from this beautiful pastime of the Lord, fighting Shalva, and in this battle, Pradyumna had been hit by Shalva's minister Duman's club, and he falls down unconscious. Right? So, in this world we see that there is always ups and downs, you know. Even Lord Pradyumna, you know, he is temporarily unconscious on the battlefield, so temporarily he has been defeated actually, you know. So Vritrasura, so I am going to take you to another battlefield where the same Siddhant is highlighted. Vritrasura tells Indra, he said, look Indra, yustutam kutrachid atatai nam jaya sada ekatran avay paratmanam. He said, there is for a living entity, there can never be absolute victory, ever. Jaya sada ekatran avay paratmanam. Paratmanam means a dependent living entity. So, dependent living entity will never always have victory in his life. There will be sometimes victory, sometimes defeat. Right? So we see that, you know, Dhiman was defeated, he got up. Now Lord is Pradyumna, but he says the Supreme Lord is always victorious. But here we see Pradyumna, who is also Supreme Lord, has temporarily been defeated. Because the Lord is acting to teach us a lesson, he is acting like a warrior. Showing in the material world, any warrior, right, any fighter will always experience sometime victory, sometime defeat. There can never be absolute victory in this world. So this is a very important point. So Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport on this. Prabhupada says, victory is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As for the subordinate living entity, they fight under the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Victory or defeat is not actually theirs. It is an arrangement by the Lord through the agency of material nature. Pride in victory or moroseness in defeat is useless. One should fully depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is responsible for the victory and defeat of all living entities. The Lord advises, Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma jayo hi karmana. Perform your prescribed duty, for action is better than inaction. The living entity is ordered to act according to his position. Victory or defeat depends upon the Supreme Lord. Kramanne vadi karaste ma faleshu kadachana. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. One must act sincerely according to his position. Victory or defeat depends upon the Lord. Vitrasura encouraged Indra, saying, don't be morose because of my victory. There is no need to stop fighting. Instead, you should go on with your duty. When Krishna desired, they will certainly be victorious. This verse is very instructive, Prabhupada says, for sincere workers in the Krishna consciousness movement. We should not be jubilant in victory or morose in defeat. We should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we should not be concerned with victory and defeat. Our only duty is to work sincerely so that our activities may be recognized by Krishna. So very, very important actually. So, under the material nature, on the material platform, there will be sometime victory, sometime defeat. But Prabhupada says, we should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna. In making that sincere attempt, because in the material world, there will be sometime victory in our plans, even to serve Krishna in different ways, there will be sometime defeat. But ultimate victory is just in making the sincere effort itself, actually. But once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was speaking to the devotees who had just come from the book distribution marathon. He said, scores are there. But he said, just because you all decided to go and put a sincere effort to distribute books, actually Prabhupada is pleased by that effort itself. Now, that's how much books you could distribute is a different detail. But the sincere effort, actually it's itself a victory on a spiritual platform. When there is sincere effort to serve Krishna. Right? So we are going to discuss this point. Right? So, now on a material plane, Vritrasura is saying, look Indra, there is sometime victory, sometime defeat. Right? He said, you destroyed all the demons, right? When you got Narayan Astra, then you were victorious, right? But then I came, right? Tvasta, he kind of through a yajna, he gave birth to me, and then I swallowed all her weapons. So I have been victorious. But then you have cut my arm during the battle. Indra cuts his arm, right? So you have been victorious, right? So in this way, sometime victory, sometime defeat. So you don't become morose, right? Don't become morose. You perform your duty with great vigor. Perform your duty with great vigor. So actually, Vritrasura is a great hero. He chastises both the demigod and the demons for not doing their duty properly. Because when they all had become very powerful and they came with the thunderbolt, you know, with the dachis, and he was shining, he had Narayan Kavach also. And the demigod, they started defeating the demons, and the demons started running away in fear. Vritrasura called, he said, look, you all, you know, the worthless sons of your mother. You know, he says, what kind of heroes are you, you know, running away? He said, just come back and fight, you know. He said, do your duty of fighting. What is this coward nature of running away and showing your... If you fight on the battlefield, Just fighting will be your victory in either case. Doing your duty will be victory. If you are killed, you will attain heavenly planets. And if you are victorious, you will attain a sovereign kingdom. Right? Krishna also says that fighting, doing your duty will be victory. The result will not matter. Right? So, and then, but they didn't listen, they were running away. And the demigods, out of greed, you know, or out of pride and greed now, you know, they may again become powerful. Let them. So demigods started throwing weapons while the demons were running, facing their back. He said, "You nonsense, you people are also like them." No, you have become too greedy for kingdom and you are killing these cowards who are running from behind, even worse than them. So he thoroughly chastised the demigods also. He said, "I am here to fight with you all. You know, you throw your weapon at me who am facing you." Right? So in this way, Vritrasura, he unaffected by the dualities, he is actually enthusiastic to perform his duty. He has been born to fight and kill Indra. Right? So we see in this episode, Indra becomes morose again and again. When he is temporarily defeated, because it's the nature of the world. But Vritrasura again and again cheer him up to fight, you know. "Come on," he said, "you cannot be morose on the battlefield. This is not the time to, you know, express your lamentation and all that. You get up and fight, you know." So Vritrasura actually again and again tries to encourage Indra to fight, who becomes defeated. Right? So in this way we see that how there is a dutiful nature of Vritrasur coming over here. Right? So it is described that Indra, when he came to fight, he had the thunderbolt which was made on the instruction of Lord Vishnu and from the bones of the Dishi Muni. Right? So, but in the fight, first Indra threw his club at Vritrasura. He threw his club. So one may say, "Look, you have the supreme weapon, which is Vishnu has said this weapon will kill, but why you throw your club?" So Indra, you know, the rule of battle is, first you try a lower weapon, you know. You don't have to directly throw the Brahmastra in the very beginning. You try some lower weapon, see if they work or not. And if lower weapon doesn't work, then you try higher weapon in the battlefield, you know, one greater than another, like that. So Indra throws his club. Now Vritrasura catches that club and throws it back, and in Indra's carrier, Aravat, he's pushed back a long distance and he's bleeding. Right? And Indra is actually shocked, you know, and Indra just becomes very sad and morose seeing this. You know, he was a very powerful club, you know. But Indra becomes very morose, right? And he kind of stops fighting for some time. Then Vritrasura says, he said, "You know, what has happened? Come on, you know, victory and defeat is happen sometimes. You have this thunderbolt, use this thunderbolt now, you know, use this thunderbolt." But Indra is materially calculating. He said, "How come he is saying throw the thunderbolt, you know, looks like he will catch the thunderbolt and I will lose my ultimate weapon also, you know. He will. So what will I have then, you know, I can't throw the thunderbolt now." Vritra saying, "Use this thunderbolt to kill me." Indra saying, no, there is some plan in this. I'll be, you know, see, Indra is totally materially calculative, while Vritrasur, having faith. What does the thunderbolt represent? Actually, thunderbolt has been made on by the instruction, which is the will of Vishnu, and it has been made from the bones of Dadichi Muni. So thunderbolt, Radhikala Prabhu was pointing out yesterday, we were discussing, the thunderbolt represents the will of the Lord and the power of the devotee. Thunderbolt. So Vritrasura has complete faith in the will of the Lord and the power of devotional service, the power of a devotee. So he has full faith. So he's saying, "Come on, you throw this thunderbolt and kill me." But Indra is not throwing. So Indra is very materially calculative. Right? So So this is actually very very important, because many a times when we in this material world we fight in this world with the material energy depending upon our own prowess, right? We're using our own prowess, our own intellect, our own bodily and mental strength, we fight in this world and we are often defeated, right? That just like Indra threw the club. But then what happens when our own plans and ambitions in this material world, which sometimes, you know, we think that yes, actually I want to serve Krishna in this way, in that particular way, you know, there are, we make some ambitions. Sometimes the ambitions may have our own selfish desires, but some other times we may want to serve Krishna through our material plans, ambitions, but they always do not achieve, receive success in this world, right? We may face defeat. We may face defeat. Our ambitions may not be fulfilled. So when we are defeated, we tend to lose faith in the instruction of the Supreme Lord and the power of devotional service. I wanted to serve Krishna in this way. You know, I made this plan. I made this endeavor. It's not working out. You know, things are not working out for me. So I'm not sure, you know, how much the devotional service works. Or probably this is not the good situation for me. I have to try somewhere else, etc. So defeat of our own plans and ambitions makes us lose faith in the will of Krishna and in the power of devotional service. That actually often happens with the practicing devotees, and with the practicing devotees. But Vritrasura, he is saying, no, come on, this will surely work. You know, this thunderbolt is going to surely work because it carries the power of the Lord's will and the power of devotional service. Right? So therefore, Vritrasura is trying to encourage Indra again and again, right? So actually, so one may wonder, you know, who is the, outwardly Indra is a devotee and Vritrasura a demon. But actually, by behavior, you know, Indra is actually not having faith. He's acting like something like a demon, you know. Although he's a mixed devotee, but he has taken the opposite role. And Vritrasura, although from the demon side, he's acting like a great devotee. So it is not just the outer symptoms, actually, you know, that those who wear dhoti kurta and kanthi mala, that they are the devotees, you know. Of course, devotees do wear that dress and it is important, but it's actually the faith in the instruction of the Lord and in the faith in the power of devotional service that characterize a devotee, and a devotee should try to cultivate that. Right? Devotee should try to cultivate that. So that is the main thing. But again, here when we see another very important point, Vritrasura's eagerness to be defeated on the battlefield. You know, he is very eager to be defeated. He is encouraging Indra again and again. You know. He is sometimes chastising with harsh words, so the Indra may become somewhat angry, you know. Indra is losing his anger and enthusiasm to fight, and so Vritrasura chastises him strongly, and you know, and also attacks him so that Indra may little bit, you know, get enthusiasm to fight and use his thunderbolt. So Vritrasura is actually very eager to be defeated, right? So we learn that how in this world we should actually become eager to be, for our material ambitions to be actually defeated. Right? So in this world, while we, even in the name of devotional service, actually we have many personal ambitions and many personal hopes and desires, etc. Right? So we actually tend to maintain them in the name of service to Krishna, right? But Vritrasura, he understands that actually The Supreme Lord wants me to come back to Him. Right? And that is actually also the desire of the Lord. Right? So the desire of the Lord is actually that we can come back to Him. So this is a So the desire of the Lord is that all living entities should actually come back home, back to Godhead. Right? So which is, so Vitra should understand this, and therefore he is very eager to become materially exhausted. Right? So, but Indra is thinking, how can I serve Krishna without having the kingdom of heaven? You know, how will I serve Krishna without having the kingdom of heaven? Right? So that is his calculation. That this is, so in this way, we think that, you know, this material circumstance, this material plan is very important for me to serve Krishna. Otherwise, how can I serve the Lord? Right? That is, and therefore we try to carefully maintain. You know, so in the beginning when the Lord gives, fulfills our ambitions, our hopes, our plan, and we are very cheerful. Right? But when Krishna desires, you know, he should now prepare to come back, and he starts defeating our plans, then we become you know, very protective, like Indra mentality. How will I be able to serve Krishna if you know, all my kingdom is gone, you know, all my powers and abilities are gone? So therefore a sadhaka always, at every point of time, he has these two mentalities to choose, right? So Krishna gives you know, material opponents in the beginning, right? And we consider that is his mercy. But actually Krishna's main business is to actually finish off everything, you know. It's not that Krishna wants us to perpetually remain here. The Lord desires, because this material world, see, although we are serving this material world, but this material world has not been designed for us to serve Krishna. The purpose of this world is not for us to serve Krishna. So the place where we can serve Krishna in the best possible way, that is the spiritual world. Right? So although the devotee, while he executes the will of Krishna, as long as Krishna desires him, but then a devotee should, when Krishna starts finishing one's material business, one's material plans, one's hope, one's material body, then one has to understand that now Krishna's, then one has to understand Krishna's will actually, right? But instead of understanding Krishna's will, we very carefully want to hold on to all the material attachments, say in the thinking that I will not be able to serve Krishna without them, right? But Krishna's will is that we serve him in a different way, right? So a sadhaka always you know, has to choose. When the difficulties come in one's life, sadhaka has to choose at least what is the mentality he takes. Mentality of Ritrasur or Indra. Mentality to hold on to one's material attachments, which we definitely have. Actually in devotion service we dovetail our material attachments. Right? But Ritrasur understand that the Lord has a different plan. He knows that the Lord's will is that I be killed. Right? So therefore, and he knows that this is the power of devotion service, the Rishi Muni. So he's very eager to become materially exhausted. You know, he's very eager to finish off everything that is obstructing him to purely serve Krishna. Right? He's very eager for that. So actually both the sides, one has to have balance. Right? While we are serving in this world, like Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, he says a beautiful statement. We show the balance of the two, right? He said that my Lord, whatever we need to become a better servant of Srila Prabhupada, let that happen or come to us. We'll accept that situation, right? And whatever needs to be taken away to be pure in Prabhupada's service, let it be taken away, right? That means always trying to understand what is the will of Krishna, right? Through by reading the scriptures, by taking guidance of the devotees, right? By praying, by praying to the Lord, we should try to understand actually what is the will of Krishna for us, right? So Vritrasura is extremely eager that let his body, now his body has become actually a great obstacle for him to serve Krishna, right? Because it's a demon's body. In the demon's body, he is fighting against the devotees of the Lord, right? He would kill so many people. He would eat flesh, you know. Even human flesh has been described because he is a demon's body. So although outwardly he is in a very difficult circumstance, he doesn't become detached. As long as he is in this material body, he executes his duty of fighting. He doesn't escape that in the name of devotional service. He doesn't escape from the duty, but ultimately he doesn't miss executing the will of the Lord with the ultimate purpose. Right? So that is actually... So therefore Krishna consciousness is the science of living and leaving, both. Right? So you have to understand that how do we live in this world and how do we leave also. Right? So Vritrasura actually shows both these things. Right? That how do we have to live in this world. Whether there is a material victory or defeat, one has to go on with his service which is prescribed for him without losing enthusiasm. And when the Lord desires, he starts finishing off the material business, then one should understand that now it's time to leave also, right? So therefore, both the things we have to learn while in this world. So, there is a beautiful verse by in the Mukundamala Stotra. Idam shariram parinam peshalam patatyavashyam shatasandhi jarjaram kim aushadam prichyati mooda durmate niramayam krishna rasayanam piba. Saying idam shariram parinam peshalam. This body, which is now very healthy and strong and beautiful, parinam, this will actually transform, right? The person who have very beautiful biceps, the muscle become very loose lumps of flesh one day, right? So the glowing skin will actually also become wrinkled, right? So in this way, whatever one has, the bodily strength, the material comforts, etc., says all that will actually transform. Idam shariram parinam apeshalam patatte vashyam shatashandhi jarajaram. And says that actually this body will surely fall down. Patatte vashyam. Before that happen, shatashandhi jarajaram. All the joints will become stiff. You know, so the stiffness of the joints indicate that now the body is, there's a beginning of this process. Patatte vashyam shatashandhi jarajaram. The joint becomes stiff, all the bodily joints. But someone says, but there are many good medicines, and many more good medicines will be invented. So Kulshekar Maharaj is saying that kim aushadim prichyasi mooda durmate. Said, you fool, you have not still given up hope for material enjoyment. Kim aushadi prichyasi, what, you know, why are you running to doctors here there, right? Kim aushadi, which aushadi you are searching, right? Because the death will come soon. Niramayam krishna rasayanam piba, right? He says please drink this krishna rasayan, the holy name of the Lord, that will grant you eternal good health. Niramayam krishna rasayanam piba, right? So therefore he's saying the point is kim aushadim prichyasi. That do not have the faith, you know, a person has to go to doctor, everyone, there is no doubt about it. But the faith, he is saying, don't have faith on the aushadid of this world, right? Although to deal with, Prabhupada would say, you know, we have to do the needful in this world, not denying that. But where is the ultimate faith? That is the question. So he is saying, you should have the ultimate faith in actually drinking Krishna elixir, rasayanam. Niramayam krishna rasayanam piva, right? This niramayam word is very famous, you know, some hospitals, there is a Sanskrit quote, that sarve jana sukhino bhantu, sarve niramayam. There is a sarve santu niramayam, something like that. Hospital, some hospitals like sarve santu niramayam. Let everyone have a good health, right? But they don't know the secret of good health, which is Krishna rasayanam. Right? They say this material aushadhi will work wonders, but actually the eternal good health will be obtained by this Krishna elixir, rasayanam piba. Rasayanam is like the ultimate medicine in Ayurveda, which can even revive a old man, which is like an old man can become a young man by rasayanam, right? That's like Ayurveda has that medicine, right? But actually, still a person will suffer and die, and Kali Yuga, all these things doesn't work anyway. Right? The rasayanam will not work. But the ultimate rasayan is actually the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right? So Vritrasura actually in between while he's fighting, he becomes very desperate to actually go back to Krishna and serve him purely. He becomes so desperate, he's seeing this Indra is not using the thunderbolt only. He is too material minded. He has absolute no faith in the instruction of the Lord and power of devotional service. So Vritrasura, in that desperation on the battlefield, desperate to be defeated, remember that. Desperate to be defeated on the battlefield, he prays to the Lord. He offered these four prayers. I'll just recite. It's a very beautiful prayers known as Vritrasura Chatushloki, the four verses by Vritrasura. And Prabhupada says these verses are the sum and substance of devotional service. Right? So there are these four beautiful verses. You can recite with me if probably it's Aham Hare Tav Pade Kamula. It starts with that, so you have some of you have smartphones, you can open that, right? Aham Hare Tav Pade Kamula Dasanudasa Bhavitasmi Bhuya Manasmareta Shubhadir Gunamse Vinitavakarma Karotukaya Nanaka Prishtam Nachaparameshtyam Na sarvabhaumam, na rasadhipathyam, na yoga siddhir abunarbhavam va, samanjasate virahaya kaṅkṣe, ajāta paksha iva mātaram khaga, stanyam yathāvatsatarāśudārtha, priyam priyeva viṣitam viṣanna, manauravindākṣidirekṣate tvām, Mamuttama shloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakre bhramatasa karma bhi tanmayatmatma jidargaheshu asakta chittasya nanathapam nanathabhuyat. So Vritrasura, I'll briefly explain. He's saying Aham Hare Tav Padayaka Mula Dasanudasa Bhavitasmi Bhuya. Said, my Lord, let all my material ambitions, my material body actually shatter down soon so that I can again become servant of a servant. He had actually obtained the position of Krishna's direct servant. But then now he prays to become servant of the servant. And the Prabhupada explains actually that is a safer position. Right? That protects a person to become a servant of the servant. So therefore this time Vritrasura says, my Lord, I was your direct servant, but then I committed a mistake. You know, it was actually not an offense of Chitraketu Maharaj in previous birth, but a small mistake. A mistake happened or some little pride came, but this time make me a servant of a servant, right? And so that I always remain very safe in that position. Dasanu dasa bhavitasmi bhoya. And he prays, manasmareta ashupater gunamste. Let my mind always remember your qualities, and let my gadintva karma karo tukaya, let my words glorify you, let my body be used to serve your purpose. Actually when the Vritrasura makes a prayer on the battlefield, the Lord appears within his mind, right? And the Lord says, Vritrasura, I am very pleased with you, why don't you ask for heavenly planets, you know, the siddhis of the Brahmalok, and why don't you ask for the liberation ultimate? Rasulullah says, no. Nanak prishtam na japaramestyam, na sarvabhaumam na rasadipatyam. Right? He says, my lord, I do not want any of this thing. Na yoga siddhir apunar bhavam va. I don't want the yoga siddhis, I don't want liberation. So actually whatever Vitrasu rules out, actually comes under the category of bhukti, mukti and siddhi. Right? He says, nanak prishtam na japaramestyam, na sarvabhaumam na rasadipatyam, na yoga siddhir. I don't want any good position, any material enjoyments, nor the siddhis, nor the liberation. Because Lord has said, these things actually divert a practicing devotee from his main purpose. So therefore says, I do not want any of them. I simply want you, my Lord, he asks. Right? And then he expresses his eagerness to the Lord. Ajat paksha iva mataram khaga. So he says, my Lord, I am very eager to obtain you, just like, and I am waiting to come back to you, just like ajat paksha, a small bird whose feathers or whose wings, right, whose feathers are not grown, right, the wings are not developed. Ajat paksha iva mataram khaga, because he can't go out, so he just continues to wait when the mother bird will come and feed me something, right? So he's always eagerly waiting. So he is waiting for mother to come and feed. So there, in this example, if you see, there is eagerness and helplessness, because he cannot do anything. You know, the baby bird is totally helpless to do anything on his own, but he is simultaneously very eager waiting for mother bird. So Vritrasura is saying, my lord, I am very eager to meet you, very eager to see you. Ajat paksha iva mataram khaga. And I am dependent upon you only. Right? By my own effort and by my own sadhana, I will not be able to obtain you. So actually this is also a very important point. Although we are trying our best to serve Krishna and to achieve the goal of life, ultimately we depend upon Krishna's mercy only, so that he will pick us up. Right? So Vritrasura expressed that by my own effort I will not be able to attain you. You know. So therefore you Lord, please pick me up. Right? I try to encourage Indra a lot, but he is not using the thunderbolt. You know. So by my effort I will not be able to attain you. Now you arrange to pick me up. I am extremely eager, he says. But he gives a second example of his eagerness. Right? Stanyam yatha vasya tarashudartha. So this second example is saying, just like a calf is very eagerly waits for to suck the mother's milk. A young born calf cannot chew grass actually. He can't have any other food other than the mother's food. But then he's not allowed to suck, you know, at any time. Just when there is a time for milking, twice a day he will be allowed to suck, you know. And so he's always eager, you know, when will the time come when I'll be allowed to suck mother's milk, right? And actually, like in GV, I was once in Goshala, I have seen that once they leave the calf one by one, because there is only one person milking. One by one they leave the calf, and the calf runs, you know. What happened? They all are herding close to the door. There is a door, one section is calf, one section are milking cows. So the calves, when the gate is little bit open, a person catches the calf who is supposed to come, but they all try to sneak inside, you know. So by mistake, a very young born calf, two calves came simultaneously. But then one is to be allowed. So two people tried to catch this calf and turn him back. But he was not able to, you know, they could not control him. He was so eager to go and suck milk. And two people could not push him back. So said, finally give it up. You know, let this fellow go, you know, and suck the milk. Because he will take more milk than necessary. So a person has to see that, you know, take the right quantity. So therefore that reason he is restricted, you know, to usually, it's said that half the milk is for the calf, you know, other half is used by the human beings. So therefore, but the calf is so eager, you know, so desperate, he actually runs, right? So in this also, the calf is depending when he will be released and is very eager also. But this example is better than the previous one. Why? Because the bird, baby bird, is looking something outside to receive from the mother. Food is not, he is looking actually for some food which the mother will bring. But the calf is, and if someone else gives the food, the bird may be satisfied, the baby bird. But the calf is only looking something which is coming from the mother's body. You know, so therefore this example is better. He is not looking from something outside. Right? So the devotees, although there is a desire to sometime enjoy, but the devotees want to enjoy something coming from Krishna, Krishna Prasad, or, you know, so not outside of Krishna. So the calf doesn't want anything outside of Krishna. So the second example is better. But then he gives a third example. Priyam priyeva vishitam vishanna. He said, just like a chaste wife, when the husband has gone far, she is eagerly waiting for the husband to come back, and the primary concern is actually when the husband will come back, that he is outside, he may not be getting proper food, rest, you know, there is no one to look after. So the chaste wife is always concerned, in a mood of service to the husband. If he can come, I can, you know, make him comfortable, serve him, etc. So in the first two examples, there is the eagerness and dependence, but there is some expectation of service. In the third example, there is the eagerness and there is a dependence, when will my beloved husband come, but with the mood of service. So the first two examples, although they express the eagerness and dependence, but they did not fully satisfy Dhritarasura. So the third example actually satisfied him. Right? So the third example is better. So in this way, Dhritarasura expresses his eagerness to go back home, back to Godhead. Actually, devotee should cultivate that eagerness. You know, one should not simply think, no, actually material world is not so bad. You know, I can serve nicely Krishna here also. You know, as long as I said, Krishna wants us to, but this is not the ultimate place to serve Krishna. So there should be, Bhagavatam gives the example of, you know, Ajamil going back to Godhead, Vaikuntha airplane came, and then Dhruv Maharaj going, how he's climbing the airplane, everything. Bhagavatam actually wants to create desire in a person, that you become eager to go back to Krishna. Right? While we are here, we have to serve in the best possible way, but this is not the best place actually to serve Krishna. A devotee should cultivate eagerness to return back home, back to Godhead. Right? Which is the actual place where we can serve Krishna unobstructedly, right? Continually with greater purity, with greater effort, with greater desire, right? With great strength. So like that. So in a much better way we can serve Krishna over there. So a devotee should try to cultivate that desire. Right? However, Dhritarasura also expressed his desire to go back home, to back to Godhead, but still, it's not that he's 100% confident in a sense, you know. Because ultimately it depends upon Lord also. Therefore he says, my Lord, mamuttama shlok janeshu sakhyam samsara chakre bhramata sukarma bhi. Even if I am still not qualified and I have to wander in the cycle of birth and death, let me be in the association of your devotees. Mamuttama shlok janeshu sakhyam. Let me have friendly relationship with your devotees. With the devotees of Lord Uttam Shlok, implying those who always glorify the Lord, right? With the great poetic verses by singing His holy name. So those devotees who are always dedicated to serving Krishna, right? The devotees who are Seva Parayan devotees and Naam Parayan devotees, they are addicted to serve Krishna, addicted to chant the holy name. The Dhritarasura is desiring the association of sub-devotees, right? Even if he has to be in this material world. So in this way, Dhritarasura on the battlefield, right, which is also material world, everyone is actually struggling hard, it is kind of a battlefield. He showed us the right mood of living in this world and then ultimately leaving this world. So this is actually very special time between Nityananda Chaturdashi and Gaur Purnima, and we should specially seek the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, right? And desiring that we may actually have faith, right? We may have faith in the instruction of the Lord, in His will, and faith in the power of devotional service, which Vitrasura exhibited. Right? So I'll just quickly tell you one very beautiful story, that how we should always seek and desire mercy actually. Right? Always, as much mercy, you know, just like a businessman is never satisfied with making any amount of profit, you know. No matter, you know, whatever the profit is, he's always more eager to make more profit. Similarly, devotees should never be satisfied, you know, that I am in a good situation, I am receiving the mercy, I am doing service also. A devotee should, his eagerness to receive mercy should always actually increase, right? Because this mercy is our great wealth. Right? So, and this is, mercy alone will actually, as we discuss, that on the strength of our own sadhana will not be able to achieve goal. It is the mercy of the Lord that will pick us up. Right? So in this way, having faith in executing the orders of Srila Prabhupada, right? Who is a perfect representative of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, we can actually achieve that ultimate position. So I'll quickly narrate a very beautiful story where of a story of Prabhupada and his very close disciple, Surabhi Prabhu. Right? So Surabhi Prabhu was an architect. He was a designer. He designed the Vrindavan temple, right? And he designed this Juhu temple also. Devotee was saying, even to this day, many architects come and they study the architecture of Juhu temple, Vrindavan temple, how the arch has been designed, how the ceiling has been designed, right? So, in Vrindavan, when Surabhi Prabhu departed, I happened to be there on his memorial, and devotee was saying, do you see this one small leaf, there are thousands of them, you know, decorating the pillar and the ceiling. Each has been personally designed, and he stood there, you know, to make sure that it comes like what he wants. He personally stood there for very, very long time, you know, dealing with Indian labor, you know, Western person. It's still dealing with labor. Indian labor is a thankless task. For a Westerner to deal with Indian labor, you know, standing there and making sure, you know, his design is executed, was a very thankless task. But Prabhupada wanted him to do that. And he did that. He is also the person who has designed Prabhupada Samadhi at Mayapur and Vrindavan and Juhu temple and Vrindavan temple. And there are some other places also. Right? And not just designed, but he took a lot of pain to show that it's executed. So Prabhupada actually was so pleased with him, with his effort. Prabhupada promised him that you will go back to Godhead by the service, right? Because he did to his best capacity what Prabhupada wanted, and Prabhupada extremely pleased by this. You know, you can imagine these two temples, we know they are the most beautiful, right? So therefore Prabhupada promised him, and somehow in due course of time Surabhi Prabhu could not be actively in the association of devotees and actively execute Krishna consciousness. So he left and he was somewhere abroad, and he didn't even come to Vrindavan for 25 years, right? But somehow when it was revealed that he had a cancer, you know, then he was doing business in somewhere in Southeast Asian country, somewhere Thailand side. He had a lady business partner. They were doing together this business, and they have a good understanding of each other for a long time. So it was learned that he has cancer, right? So somehow he was thinking, what should I do? He was very morose. And herein, in Vrindavan, the devotees are planning for the 40th anniversary of the temple opening. It was the 40th anniversary. It was opened in 1975. So 2015 was the 40th anniversary. So they were planning that we want to celebrate 40th anniversary like 50th anniversary. Because till 50, many Prabhupada disciples will not remain to celebrate. Those who were involved in the services. So they made 40 into 50, you know. And this made it a golden jubilee celebration in Vrindavan. And they were saying, all the devotees who helped in the temple, they should all come. So the devotees started searching for Surabhi Prabhu. You know, no one knew where is he. Somehow, asking, he was in touch with one or two people, they found him. And he is now, he knows that, you know, I have this cancer. The devotee said, no, you have to come for this, you know, 40th celebration, etc. So somehow, you know, it's like Krishna working now, calling him to Vrindavan. So the devotee, they called him, and you know, and he could come to Vrindavan, and he gave many of his beautiful realizations of how he, you know, could serve Prabhupada, whatever the challenges, etc. You know. So, and then somehow then he went back, and the cancer worsened. And the doctor said, you know, just a week or so to live. So this this lady business partner, she thought you know, just few days remaining, we have to quickly wind up the business. You know, we are partnership. There are many legal papers to sign, many documents to be prepared, the will to be registered, and so many things to be done. You know, a lot of. So she started working on that, and his health started collapsing more and more. So this lady who was not a devotee, she got an inspiration. She said, actually, I should do something now at the end which will make him most comfortable. So he started thinking that, you know, when he went to Vrindavan, and he was very joyful, he was sharing and talking of Vrindavan, everything, what makes him most joyful is Vrindavan. So although, you know, the lot of paperwork were remaining, and if the things are not completed, it will may cause loss of you know, thousands and lakhs of dollars, but she said, to hell with all the paperwork, this paperwork will never finish, the body will finish, you know. This documented thing will never finish, it will take long time. So she kept aside all the important business paperwork, and she took a decision to bring Surabhi Prabhu to Vrindavan in the, when just few days are remaining. And he came to Vrindavan, and next day he left his body in Vrindavan Dham. Right? So we see that how, because Prabhupada promised, he was brought to Vrindavan by the devotees, by Prabhupada's will, to leave his body in Vrindavan Dham, right, and actually attain the eternal shelter of Lord Krishna. Okay, so in this way, this is Prabhupada's great mercy, right? We actually have to have a lot of hope in the mercy of the Lord and His pure devotees, represented by Srila Prabhupada. In our life, He is the most important representative of Gaur Nitya's mercy in our life, right? And those who are actually following in footsteps, they are also equally important, right? So therefore we depend upon the mercy of the Guru, Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada and the Lord, and desiring to become, follow their instruction, follow their will, right? And if you become a good instrument in doing that, surely there is a tremendous hope for us to go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. जय ग्रंथरा श्रीमद्भागतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी।